One of the extraordinary things about Akiva was his tremendous ava for his mishpacha. I have very vivid memories of Akiva in Eretz Yisrael when he came back from learning after a long day, sitting down and immediately picking up the phone, calling someone in the mishpacha, what's doing, what's going on. Where is this person holding? Where is that person holding? It was a marvel to us. His incredible dveikus to his mishpacha. Such a dveikus only comes from the nurturing and the cultivating of such a feeling from a chashuv mishpacha. And as such, we'd like to ask someone from the mishpacha, Reb Shimshon Greenfeld, to speak.
The truth is, in a way, I think that probably many of the people sitting here had the privilege to have the day-to-day contact with Kivi. And as much as we're mishpacha, we didn't necessarily get to see him as often. I'd like to share with you something that I feel, beyond all the stories, of which there are many, that in my mind I felt was a very miuchadika thing about Kivi. There's a saying in Hebrew, there's probably something like this in English, my English is not, maybe not good enough for it, but in Hebrew they say, Meroiv Eitzim Ein Roiv Mesayar. Sometimes there's so many trees, you don't see the forest. There's many, many details. I feel that there was something behind it that I'd like to share with you. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara relates to a term that we use frequently, a Ben Aliyah. Kivi was a true Ben Aliyah. What is a Ben Aliyah? The Gemara says that Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, Ra'isi b'nei Aliyah v'heima mu'atim, I saw b'nei Aliyah, they are few. Not many. If there are 1,000, ani uvni mehem, my son and myself are of those 1,000. Imeyahem ani uvni mehem, maybe said im asarahem ani uvni mehem, and im shnayim hem ani uvni mehem. I thought it's such a surprising Gemara. What did Reb Shimon ben Yochai come to say? He said there are few bnei aliyah. If there are 1,000, my son and myself are from them. If there are 100, we're from them. 10. If there are 2, we are from them. First of all, what was he trying to give us some kind of a statistic about how many there are? If there are few, and what was he trying to bring out that he and his son for sure belonged to them? And why was he so sure? What made him so sure if there are so few? If there's 2 bnei aliyah in the world, it's his son and himself. I think that there is one unusual thing, which was the opportunity that Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his son had more than anyone else in the world. Most people live in a society, there's family, there are friends, there's surroundings, and almost from when we wake up in the morning, we're involved with, in what we do, we're involved with how it will appear, how it will seem, what do other people do, do we follow their example, not follow their example, what will they say about we do, how will they look at what we do things because of what they do, or contradictory to what they do. The things we do are so affected by everything else around. Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his son lived in a cave for 13 years with no one else. They didn't have to do anything because of anyone, not for anyone, not caused by what people will say or won't say or will think or won't think. There was just the two of them and the truth. That is the source of a true Ben Aliyah. A Ben Aliyah is someone whose life is directed and motivated by a true inner motivating belief and conviction of what's right. That's not swayed by anything else from the outside. Not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do, said Reb Shimon ben Yochai. I don't know how many people are really like that. Ani uvni, we had the zchiya. We had the zchiya to have such an opportunity to live for years without the influence of a whole outside to develop a true, real self. It's much, much harder when it's to live in a cave where when there is a whole world around. I feel that Kivi was full of a thriving inner world, an inner dedication to what he believed, to what he thought, to what he perceived as right and as true. And he did what he did. He learned what he learned. He devoted himself to what he devoted himself, not based on an outside world, not based on what outside will think or won't think or will bring or won't bring. There was his inner belief, his inner drive, his inner conviction, and this was the source of all of the stories and all of the wonderful example that came out from Kivi to everyone around was based on this inner world that was thriving and living within him. I don't have to go over, I'm sure what I know is in a way less than what everyone else knows about the other half of a Ben Aliyah, of the Ben Torah, of a person of Ben Torah, someone who cares about Torah, how important it was to him when he was well, to put hours and hours into learning, into chazring, into staying up for hours at night. When he was sick, how important it was for him. That was the thing that came to his mind. I remember myself from visiting him in the hospital. So all he wanted to know was to tell him some kind of a dvar Torah. It could be Ba'agoda, it could be Belimud, it could be in something. To ask, what are you learning? Oh, this sugya, there's a big figure on it, there's a thing. It's what was important to him, it was what meant to him. That was his inside was full of it. But it was more than just a caring. It was the will and the devotion to be dedicated to the learning despite difficulties. He could be at times between surgeries where he couldn't read words straight. But that's what he wanted to know, and it was important to him, and that the friends that came and how much he appreciated that they came and they learned with him and told him divrei Torah. How hush that was. That's what he wanted to know. And when you met him, when he came to a family simcha, to a thing, he's talking about the learning. There was a drive, an iron drive within him to absorb, to take in, to discuss, to think. There was so much of himself that he put in, both to his learning and into his relationship. You walk into the house and you'd feel is that a lot of times you have people, a person is a masmid, a person is chashuv within the learning, and he walks into the house and you feel it, like, you know, he's, you know, okay, he says the hello and says the thing, and he really is waiting just to get himself back to his own time. It was the interest that he took. As a bachur, he could walk into the house, how interested he was in the little kids, and how, what they changed, and what they developed, what they're doing, what they're saying. The feeling of warmth that he gave, that came across, the interest. There was the interest that he could put into his learning, and there was an interest that he could put into the people around, to make them feel that they were part of his world, that they were important to him. I remember hearing this from someone who said, they run a lot of times on like Shabbos, and Kibbe could come for Shabbos, and sometimes, you know, people would come in, you'd feel stressed, oh, they're here already, and it's not all put together. He walks in and you feel so much at home, because he just made it, he made it comfortable, and he blended himself right in, and it was fine, and he was happy, and made himself part of everything. The self that he shared enabled him to affect people, even people that weren't from, to get them to do something together. Everybody probably knows this, but he got one of the doctors he wanted before they took care of him. He should put on tefillin. To get people, it was the warmth and the self, the inner self that he gave forth, both for his learning and for the people around, enabled him to have such an effect, such a lasting hashpa. It's something that I feel that lives within. You know, we're back to Chumash Bereishis. Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Noach, "Ve'lo tov l'sneach to l'sem shel tzadikim is the ma'isin toivim." So, Pashit, do you feel like the toldos of tzadikim is ma'isin toivim because a person's actions is a product? The person does something, it's his product, similar to that a person's children are his product. So his ma'isim are his product. But if his ma'isim are his product, so then it's not just toldos de'em shel tzadikim. So everybody's ma'isim are their toldos. Whatever one does, that's his product. I think that toldos de'em shel tzadikim ma'isim toivim is referring not to the actions themselves. Everyone's actions are their products. But there are some people that what they do is something that leaves an impression on other people. It affects, it's a dogma, it's something that's a living memory in other people, that other people take from it. When other people see how he could want to learn so much in the times where it was so hard to concentrate and to think this is what's important to him, where you see how other people are important to him, when it's hard to think and hard to, and he's under pain, but it's other people are important. The care that he took to other people when he lived as a bachur in Adira, that he would go and buy the different foods for the different people in Adira, whatever everyone liked, the caring, the noticing, it's things that in other people's minds afterwards stay. These actions, it's not that the action is the fruit. The action bears fruit. Because those actions that they do stay by other people and get other people to emulate them and to follow their example and to do from them. And this is what I feel, that Kivi is left by so many people, things that stand in their mind that are living with them, that bring them to, in turn, in their life, follow the example, take from it, do from it, bring from it. Toldisem shel tzadikim ma'isim toivim, because they bring on and on. It goes on farther and farther. It's things that get people to want to copy it and to follow that way and to do something similar to it. So it brings fruit and fruit. And it does go without saying that to be such an outstanding person, and a person who's full of what he thinks is right, what he believes is true, and yet to other people he comes across as non-judgmental. He's not, a lot of times people, they have their own days, they have their own shittas, so they let you know about it. To other people, very accepting, very encouraging, very, very positive to other people's things. He had his, he has his world, his belief, his thing, and yet there's a lot of room for other people. To be able to grow up this way comes from growing up in a very, very special home. The home that he's surrounded with, that he grew up in, a home that instilled in him these goals and these ways. It's something that I hope will be a source of a bracha and a hadracha to all of us to benefit from it. Yizir Chavar.